What a weekend it was for the Tennessee Titans. Welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley in for Braden Gall today, alongside what I consider to be a very good Hall of Fame wide receiver, my good buddy Derek Mason. D-Mace, how you doing?
Hey, thank you, Robbie. I appreciate it, man. Hey, the money will be in the bank tomorrow.
Okay, good. I was wondering when you're going to send it.
man, Robbie. There was a lot that went on this weekend, man. A lot of really good games. Munson, as we call him.
Yeah.
Munson just said, you know, this might have been the best football weekend in regards to playoffs in a while. And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, you're right. We had two. Every game basically came down to the wire.
Yeah, really good games.
Yeah, some two overtime games. And then, obviously, the Eagle game and the Titan game that basically was one, you know, one possession games, or one score games.
Yeah, no, it was a great weekend for football. And we're going to dive, obviously, hot and heavy into the Titans as we move along here today. But like you said, I mean, two overtime games, led off by that one, that Bills-Texans game.
Uh-huh.
You know, Bills were up 16-0 in that game, and then all of a sudden Deshaun Watson gets hot, comes back. That last play he made, I think, in overtime to drive them down the field, where he just got walloped by two different guys, spun off of it, made the play down the field. I think that was kind of the first sign that we were in for a pretty special wild card weekend.
I will say this. That was a job-saving play.
Oh, it was.
By Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien, he was on the hot seat throughout that whole entire game. I'm wondering if they're going to fire him, at least let him off the field. But that one play right there extended him a little
bit. Well, I've always said, because I picked the Bills to win that game. And the Bills had that game. And for some reason with that defense, I don't know how you let someone come back. I think that was the biggest margin for the Houston Texans as far as them being down 16 points that they were able to come back. How do you allow a team to come back with that defense that you have? I don't understand it. You know, Bill O'Brien, he just amazes me, and not in a good way. It's because of his quarterback that bails him out each and every time. Watson is like a magician back there.
Yeah.
It's like in a fourth, third, and fourth quarter, mainly the fourth quarter, he just pulls a rabbit out of a hat. And just when you think Houston is dead and gone, he rises up and he leads him to victory. And that's what he did this weekend.
Was that not the most Buffalo Bills loss of all time? Like, I was sitting there watching it, and that's all I could think about. I was like, this could only happen to either the Buffalo Bills or the Cleveland Browns. It was the
and
most Buffalo
Bills.
And then
there was
Bills
the play thing where Josh Allen was like running and then throws it behind
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what is he doing? Just fall, idiot. Come on.
I had no idea what he was doing. But again, that game started it off Saturday. And then obviously the game that we all had paid special attention to, the Tennessee Titans, that was a game that the Titans, I think as an organization, they needed, and we will get into that a lot more today, but as an organization, they needed that win. No matter how they got it, they needed to go down to Foxborough, Massachusetts, Gillette, whatever you want to say. They need to go out there and pick up a victory, because that New England team is not the New England team we saw a year ago or 2 years ago. They're just not. And if you lose to that team, I mean, what then does an organization do to try to, you know, take that next step?
Well, you're right. And I think this fan base has been waiting for a long time to fully trust this team and trust this group. And look, they put together a great run when Tannehill took over as quarterback and moved into the playoffs. Obviously, the last week of the season played their way into the playoffs. But I still think a lot of people are like, oh, my God, it's the Patriots. I mean, you know, they don't look the same, but, you know, people have fallen for that trick before about how it's the Patriots, and you think they're done, and then all of a sudden they go and win another Super Bowl. So I think, you know, that was in the back of the mind of a lot of people heading into this game. But just the way the Titans responded, and like I said, we're going to spend a lot of today's show on the Titans and their big win against the New England Patriots. But I thought it was great to see them respond that way and get a tough, gritty playoff win, kind of in the style that they've built their team around. It had to be good for Mike Vrabel, especially, and John Robinson.
Absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head. The way they won that game was indicative of how they played the last 10 games of the season. They leaned very heavy on Derrick Henry. And they didn't even – they attempted to throw the football a few times, but they knew in order to beat New England, they couldn't do that. They had to run the football. And it started off after New England went down and, you know, first possession, got 3 points. It was Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry. I think he was getting 4 or 5 yards a pop each and every time, and it was very difficult for the New England Patriots to stop it. But even with that, you felt in the second half they would make some adjustments and New England will go back to being New England, and, you know, this thing end up being 24-14, something like that. But it just didn't happen. Even after the interception, when Tannehill threw an interception, I'm thinking, here we go.
Yeah.
This is when New England starts to do the New England things and the other teams just kind of quiver up and you know, big brother just stump all over you. But it didn't happen. The Titans, you know, buckled up and that defense played extremely well. They played better this game than they had played in the last 10 games. So kudos to them.
Yeah, kudos to the Titans. We're going to talk about that pretty much the entire show. But it wouldn't be a playoff game, I think, involving the New Orleans Saints if there wasn't a little bit of controversy involved. Obviously, the Vikings get a big 26-20 overtime win in New Orleans, which I think shocked pretty much everybody. Some controversy at the end of that game regarding Kyle Rudolph and a pass interference push-off. Was it offensive pass interference? Was it not offensive pass interference? I will say this. Mm-hmm. It was nowhere near as blatant as the one last year against the Rams, and I think if you just watch that game between the Vikings and the Saints, the better team yesterday won that game.
Yeah, I think they did. And it seems like the Saints are just continuing to come up short.
Yeah.
They got a lot of talent. Here's the problem with New Orleans, because if you look at their season, the regular season and the playoffs, they're some totally two different things. People tend to game plan a little bit different in the playoffs than they do in a regular season. If you look at New Orleans, the bulk of their passing goes through Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing how much they throw to just one guy. Now, the guy is, he catches everything thrown to him, but Drew Brees hasn't cultivated a relationship with anyone else other than probably Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
But he hadn't cultivated a relationship with anyone else on that team in regards to throwing the football but Michael Thomas. And when you get in the playoffs, it can't be that way. You have to have several options if you're not running the ball effectively.
Right.
They didn't run the ball effectively. Drew Brees didn't play well either.
No.
That's what's going to continue to be their problem, because when the Saints went to the Super Bowl, when it's hard to beat the Saints, they have multiple people. Yes, Michael Thomas is going to be the guy, but they have multiple people they can get the ball to at any time. And then the distribution is a little bit more even. This season, it was remarkable how many times he threw the ball. I don't think anyone else had over 40 catches, probably 30-some catches in that offense this year.
And Michael Thomas had, what, like 145?
Exactly.
Something like that, yeah.
And you can't win consistently, or you can't beat a good team by only having one option. And New England, and New Orleans only had one option. And, you know, Kirk Cousins showed up finally in the playoffs.
Your
Kirk
boy.
You like that? You like that?
Hey, so kudos to D-Mace, because we did preseason predictions earlier in the year, and D-Mace had the Vikings going pretty far in his predictions. And if you read some of the comments below our predictions when we tweeted it out, it was a lot of, you know, what is D-Mace smoking and all this other stuff. And sure enough, Kirk Cousins gets – and it was Kirk Cousins that did it, because that throw to Adam Thielen, that was an amazing throw.
Oh, yeah.
And minus, you know, Dalvin Cook also had a good game as well, so the running game kind of did help with that. But Kirk Cousins and that throw to Adam Thielen pretty much won them that game. So, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. D-Maze had the Vikings going. Why did you have the Vikings going? That was my question. What
defense,
made you
– run game – and they have, I'm trying to think, maybe Atlanta when they're really on.
Vikings are loaded, though.
Yeah, they had the best set of pass catchers from Rudolph to Thielen to Diggs. Yeah. They had three of the best set of catchers in the National Football League. So, you know, that's for me. And then their defense is always good. You know, so to me, that was the reason I chose to pick Minnesota. I just don't think New Orleans, as many points as they do score this year, I don't think they were a tough team. Yeah. I just don't think offensively. When they had Ingram, they were a pound, they were a more physical team.
Sure.
This year they didn't have him. Even though Alvin Kamara is a stud,
yeah,
they're not a physical team without Ingram. And you see what Ingram did once he went to Baltimore.
Absolutely. And then the final game, the Seahawks beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Just another tough draw for Carson Wentz in the playoffs. Left that game in concussion protocol. And, you know, fair or unfair, the questions are going to start to come up about his durability and his future with the Eagles there, just because it seems like it's the same story every year with the injuries.
Yeah, it is. And it's truly unfortunate, man, for the quarterback, Wentz. And they've been to the playoffs three times, and he hasn't been truly available all three times. I told you, Robbie, it's so bad. It's, you know, it's bad when they got a statue of the man that's no longer with the team anymore. The man that was behind the man. They got a statue of him instead of you, and you are the franchise quarterback.
It's gotta be tough.
That's tough, and that's telling you something, that you are not available. And it's unfortunate because it wasn't his fault.
Right.
But, I mean, you just, for whatever reason, you just hadn't been available when they needed you in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a tough draw. We're going to talk about the Titans coming up. Obviously, a huge day for Derrick Henry. We'll dive into that a little bit. Also, look at Ryan Tannehill's day as well against the New England Patriots. You're listening to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A huge day for Derrick Henry against the New England Patriots, and the big Titans win on Saturday. Derrick Henry finished with 34 carries, 182 yards, and one touchdown. And D-Mace, kind of the biggest thing that stood out to me in that game was, at some point, if you're the Patriots, you know what's coming and you know where they're going with the ball, and they still could do absolutely nothing to stop Derrick Henry in that game.
They couldn't, and if you look at, you know, what New England wasn't able to do, I mean, it was just, they had no answer for Derrick Henry. They had no answer for that offensive line, because the offensive line did a really good job. I think they had maybe one, two penalties in that game. Now, New England does, they were giving up 100 and some yards, but Derrick Henry obliterated that. He had, 140, 50, somewhere around there, probably more than that.
Like 182. Yeah.
82, good Lord. Yeah, because he broke Eddie George's playoff record this weekend. But I mean, there's one thing I think in the NFL that offenses try to do, and beyond anything else, this is why when we talked about the Saints, I said the Saints is just not a tough team anymore, because they don't have that physicality that they had with Ingram, even though Kamara's a stud. But what teams on offenses want to do to defenses is, one, they want to control the line of scrimmage. And then they want to establish their toughness, their dominance. And the only way you do that is by physical play on offense. And physical play on offense means running the football. It's not like defense. Defense, you know, you can, you know, establish that physical play by hitting somebody as he crawled, you know, going across the middle, or catch a pass, or running a ball. It doesn't matter. But on offense, I think the only way you can establish that is by running the football. And the Titans established that physicality early in the game. And New England had no plan B for it. You know, or if they did, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And you know, Derrick Henry, this team is going to win only if Derrick Henry gets the ball 30 plus times a game.
Yeah.
That's the only way this team, if he's over 40, 50 yards, that's the only way they're going to win. Even if he gets to 100 yards, they're still not going to win. He has to get over 150 for this team to win. That means, to me, they're establishing their dominance on the line of scrimmage, and that's what they get to the New England Patriots.
The thing that really stood out to me watching that game as I watched Derrick Henry just eviscerate the Patriots was how much of a genius does Mike Vrabel look like for that New Orleans game, just saying, you know what, you're having some hamstring troubles. This game doesn't mean anything. We're shutting you down and saving you to where you can get back 100% healthy. Because let's be honest, the last couple weeks, I think that's been the difference with this group, is a completely healthy Derrick Henry to get back in there and establish the run the way they've been able to.
Yeah, because it worked out perfectly for them. They didn't need him in a New England game. They knew if Houston won that week that, you know, they would be able to more than likely win the next game, because Houston wasn't going to play their guys.
Right.
So they needed Derrick Henry for the last game, they needed him for the 16th game, not the 15th. And that's exactly what they got. Derrick Henry has ran the ball 65 times the last 2 weeks. And he's averaged over 5 yards a carry the last 2 weeks. Probably more than that. Probably averaged closer to six. And he has, what, four touchdowns in that span? He single-handedly, and I heard Vrabel, he said, well, the only way we're going to win this game is if we're dog-tired after it. There was only one person tired. There was only one person. Let's get that straight. And offensive line did a great job, but there was only one person tired of that game, and that was Derrick Henry.
That's right.
That was the only person tired of that game, because they fed him, and rightfully so. They fed him. And even when he was tired, they gave him the football more, because they knew that, one, the only way they're going to win is if he runs the ball effectively, and two, New England couldn't stop him no matter what they did. They tried. They just couldn't do it.
And you've been a part of a lot of snaps in the NFL. What's it like to be a member of the offense, to look across the line of scrimmage and know that they've tried everything they can do and there's nothing they can do to stop you?
It's fun for an offense. Even as a receiver, it's fun because you see what's going on and you look at it and you say, no matter what we do, we can run the ball 50 million times and they cannot stop us. And, you know, you want the football on the outside, but once you get in the playoffs, it's like, man, I just want to advance. You just want to win. The last time this happened to the New England Patriots in the playoffs, meaning the way a team has ran the football, I think it was 2009 when we went there, Baltimore went there, and just basically dismantled New England. I think we beat them like 35-14, something like that.
Ray Rice had a huge
game. Rice had a huge game running and catching the football. And I think we threw maybe 10 passes, if that.
Yeah.
But we ran the football effectively against the New England Patriots, and we played good defense. That's how you're going to beat the New England Patriots. You're not going to beat them in a shootout. That's not what you're going to do. You're not going to beat them playing finesse football. You beat New England by running it right at them, smacking them in the mouth, getting up and doing it again. And in past years, you just hadn't been able to do that to the New England Patriots. But even though the Titans did it to them during the regular season with Derrick Henry, they were able to run the ball effectively during the regular season. But the regular season and the playoffs are two different things. But you just saw Derrick Henry, man. That guy's, he's just a beast, man. And, you know, you just hope that it continues moving forward.
Yeah, and it wasn't a busy day for Ryan Tannehill. I think he threw 15 passes, was 8 of 15, 72 yards, one touchdown, one pretty brutal interception that you thought, oh, boy, this could be really problematic here. This is the first play of the fourth quarter, I think. But, you know, at some point, they're going to have to win a playoff game with Ryan Tannehill being productive offensively and throwing the ball. Were you concerned about how he played, or do you just think it was part of the game plan and that's just the way the game unfolded against the Patriots?
I think they wanted to be a little bit better throwing the football, but they knew coming in, if they were going to win this game, they had to establish themselves through the run. This season wouldn't be this season if they couldn't run with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
We saw what happened when they didn't have Derrick Henry for the New Orleans game. Now, granted, they did put up some points, but those points, if you watch that whole game, New England had that game in hand after they, you know, after the Titans went up 14-0 early on. Basically, it was New Orleans' game after that, because they never felt pressure to stop the run, even though Deion Lewis was effective. They are a different team with Derrick Henry back there. Even though you want to be a balanced team, in the playoffs, you just want to win however you can. Like Al Davis said, just win, baby,
That's
win.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you do it, just win the playoffs. But you're right, Robbie. Can they continue to play this brand of football and continue to win? Because the next stop is going to be very difficult. But can they be that much one-dimensional? And if Ryan Tannehill plays this way, they will lose. I guarantee you they will lose unless Derrick Henry rushes for 200 yards, because New England defense was good, but this Baltimore defense is – they're more aggressive.
Yeah.
New England is not that aggressive. This Baltimore team, they will blitz you from the locker room. They will blitz you from the stands. They don't care because they feel they have three corners, and they do. Flat out, all three of their corners I think were Pro Bowlers, or at least two out of three. They can flat out play man-to-man across the board, and they're going to put as much pressure on you. So can the Titans, you know, weather all of that, and can Ryan Tannehill play better? Because he has to play better.
Oh, yeah.
He just does.
Well,
no,
the other part of that
it.
Is, you know, Lamar Jackson, if their offense does what it's done all year, they're going to put up 30 points.
Yeah.
You're going to have to score with them, and I wonder how much that takes Derrick Henry out of the game plan. You know, maybe the Titans defense can hold strong and really do a good job of containing Lamar Jackson like nobody else has, but it's certainly going to be a much different challenge for the Titans this weekend as they head to Baltimore.
Yeah, it is. It's I'm looking forward to this game because, you know, it's no secret. I'm a huge John Harbaugh guy.
Yeah.
Because I play for John. I think Mike is a good coach. I didn't play for Mike. I played against him, and he was a really good player. And what he did on the field is translating to how he is as a coach and is working for this team. But I played for John. I know John very well. And it's going to be – this is where it's Dean Pease. It's not Mike Vrabel. It's Dean Pease versus Roman.
Yep.
Greg Roman. And Greg Roman is a damn good offensive coordinator. He was there when I was there, and he had a part of the offensive line. I think he was assistant offensive line coach at the time and was moving up in the ranks. But that's the battle. That's the battle. It's not Mike Vrabel. It has nothing to do with Mike Vrabel. This is Roman versus Dean Pease, because no one in the NFL has been able to stop this offense. No one. And I'm talking about the best defenses. And the Titans, you know, from a statistical standpoint, they don't have the best defense, but they played the best game when they needed to play, and that was last week. If they carry that over into this game, they're going to make it very difficult for Baltimore in their own place. And I'm just wondering, you know, if possibly not having Jayon Brown will hurt the Tennessee Titans moving forward, because that was a big blow losing him during the game. Now, I don't know the extent of the injury, but him not being there, that was huge. Jayon Brown. I get him and Jonnu Smith mixed up. But Jayon Brown, if they don't have him, they might take a big hit. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as we go through this week here. Obviously going to be a lot of hype heading into that Baltimore game. What does this win against the Patriots mean for the Titans, both in the short term and in the long term? Derek and I will get into that next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Derek Mason and our guy Munson spinning the hits behind the glass. Huge Titans win 20-13 against the New England Patriots on Saturday. And D-Mace, obviously the Patriots have been the gold standard in the NFL since like 2001. They've won six championships. I think they've been to 9 Super Bowls during that time span. The Brady-Belichick pairing is the best duo in the history of the NFL. Didn't look the same this year, despite the 12-4 record, despite the number 3 seed overall, but still impressive nonetheless for the Titans to go into Foxborough and get that win. What does this win mean, in your opinion, both in the short term and the long term for this franchise?
Well, I think in the short term, obviously, you know, it gives them the opportunity to move forward in the playoffs. It gives them some confidence to move forward in the playoffs. That's the short term. They did this, you know, they have this, every team have their goals throughout the season. And, you know, the Titans are no different from any other team. You know, your goal is to, you know, win your division games, you know, find a way to either split or win more out of conference games than not, or out of division games than not. Win your division, get into the playoffs, have a first round bye. If you don't, at least get one home game in the playoffs. Well, you know, the Titans didn't accomplish any of that. But I think as you move further and further down their list of things they want to accomplish, one was to win a game in the playoffs. Once you get in, win a game in the playoffs, regardless of where it's at. You would rather it be home, but regardless of where it's at, win a game in playoffs. And then put yourself in a position to win a second game. Well, they checked off one of them. Now they're in a position to check off another, heading down to M&T Bank Stadium. I think that's what it's still called, yeah, in Baltimore, to try to knock off the best team in football right now. So that's the short term. I think for the long term, because I see it two ways. Had they lost this game against this New England team, which isn't as good as prior New England teams, if they lose this game, to me, they take two steps back. They do. And then they're trying to figure out, how do we beat a team that has been dominant for so long in the year that they're not dominant? So what do we do now?
Right.
You know, we couldn't beat them when they were not dominant. They're going to regroup next year. Tom's going to have some weapons. What do we do then? And everybody else around us is getting better. If you win like they did, now is, as an organization, they've slayed the giant. I don't care if the giant had two bad knees and one eye. It doesn't matter. We slayed the giant in his land. We did it.
Yeah.
No one thought we could do it, even though we were the better team coming in it. There was still a little they're New England. You know, they'll put it together for the playoffs. We slayed the giant. Now we can move on. That's a check. We got a check. Those things that are on our list, they are a check. But these are... That check was more so of a future check. Now we've done the things. Now we're considered one of the teams. Now we're in the group. Now we're considered one of the boys.
Yeah.
We're considered one of the cool kids now, because we beat the coolest kid. You know, maybe the coolest kid wasn't as cool, but for the last 4 years of high school, he's been the coolest
kid.
That's right. Now we beat the coolest kid. Now we can walk around with our chest high as an organization, and we can feed off of that. We've seen organizations do that in all sports. You look at the Nashville Predators, when they did it with the Blackhawks. I mean, they slayed the giant.
Yep.
And then they became the talk of the town. Well, the Titans have slayed, you know, the New England Patriots. Now they become the talk of the town. I don't know how many times I've seen the Titans on television now because they beat New England. And that's what you want as an organization.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And look, after that game ended Saturday night, I was just kind of taking in the scene and thinking about what it means for this team. And to me, the first thing that came to mind was it completely validates the decision that John Robinson made a couple years ago to move on from Mike Mularkey and bring Mike Vrabel in. I think most people felt like that was the right move anyway, but I mean, let's be honest. If you missed the playoffs last year after making it in Mularkey's final year, you go one and done in the playoffs this year, and all of a sudden you're from just a simple look at the scale of progress, you're not where you were when Mularkey was here. So I think this win, in the fashion that they got it, in the style that they got it, and now with the opportunity to do more damage in Baltimore, I think it completely validates the move that John Robinson and the Titans decided to make by bringing Mike Vrabel in.
Yeah, it does. Now, you know, because there were, like you said, there were, you know, you missed the playoffs 1 year. And then if you go into the playoffs against a team that is not as good as they used to be, you know, I almost equated it to, and I said it last week, it's like facing Mike Tyson when he's 40 years old. He's Mike Tyson. He's the name.
Yeah.
But he's not quite the boxer he used to be. We saw when he fought Lennox Lewis. He wasn't quite a boxer that he was prior to, you know, when he was in his youth and was beating everybody up and people were just scared to walk in the ring with him. That was New England 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. You know, they've had this long history the last, 15 years of being Mike Tyson in the ring, just dominant. Before they even walk in the building, you're trying to figure out a way like, man, it's going to be a long day for us, man. That's not the team you faced. You faced the name, but you didn't face what was underneath the name. That was gone. And if the Titans didn't win versus that, then you say, when are they going to win? But they took advantage. They were the better team. They were the better. They were, to me, they out-coached Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Dean Pease out-coached McDaniel. Arthur Smith out-coached, Bill Belichick and whoever else on defense. They basically got out-coached that game. So much so in the end of the game. And I'm thinking like, Bill, why didn't you send anyone back there to catch a punt?
Exactly.
That was one of the dumbest things. You ran off an extra 10 seconds. Like, for what? If you fair catch the ball at the 10 or the 15, then at least you save yourself 7-8 seconds. But you let it bounce.
And by the way, landed on the one.
Exactly.
You get down on the one. And
absolutely.
Can we just say, and I've kind of joked about this all year long on Twitter, calling Brett Kern the best player in the league. I'm only like 30% joking now. he was unbelievable on Saturday night. I know it's a punter and he doesn't normally have that great of an impact on the game. I thought he was awesome on Saturday night.
No, you're right. Brent Kern put the Tennessee defense in some really good situations where New England was backed up, and none was more important than the last one. That last one, what he was able to do, what Bill Belichick decided to do at the end, I still don't get it. They weren't going to block that punt. He put the Titans defense at an advantage. I don't care who you are. When you got to start on the one with 21 seconds left, the odds of you winning that game is about 1%, if that.
Yeah.
And, that's what happened. But, this team is going to, I had a chance to do Channel 2 the other yesterday. Yeah, I guess it was. No, Saturday with Kayla after the game.
Yeah.
I think it's Kayla and Jamie, the other one. Emily. I'm so sorry, Emily. But I got an opportunity to do the show with Kayla and Emily, and they did a phenomenal job, the both of them. But they asked me a question. Well, why do you think the Titans won this game? And I said, well, here's the deal with this team is that they have two things that if you do, more than likely you will win the football game. And those two things you could take anywhere, my darn watch, it does it all the time.
It's got gadgets in
exactly.
Work, people.
You could take these two things to Mars and win a football game on Mars. They play really good defense, mm-hmm. and they ran the football.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that the Tennessee Titans did this game. And if they continue to do it, then the chances of them winning football games goes up tremendously. So if you get in the playoffs, the two things you want is a really good defense and a really good running game. The bad part about it is the team on the other side has a really good defense and a really good running game. Matter of fact, they have the best running team in the National Football League this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tall task for them.
Yeah, going to be a tall task. And you mentioned the way the Titans defense played against the Patriots on Saturday. There was a specific set of plays that really stood out to me as a major, major difference in that game. We'll talk about that next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Big time defensive performance by the Titans on Saturday against the Patriots. Held the Patriots to 13 points. Held them scoreless in the second half. And Derek, there were a specific set of plays in that game, and I want to get your thoughts on a couple of them that really stood out to me as really big key difference makers in that game. And obviously one of them was the pick six by Logan Ryan at the end of it, when it was pretty much dire straits for the Patriots anyway. But there in the second quarter, late in the second quarter, the Patriots were driving the ball down the field. They got all the way to the 1 yard line. And Rashawn Evans made three plays, two of them on Sony Michel, and I think the other one on Rex Burkhead, to stop the Patriots on the 1 yard line, push them back, and hold them to a field goal. And I thought, especially when you take a look at how the rest of that game played out, that was a massive, massive stop for the Titans on defense.
That was the play that won the game. That was the stance that won the game for the Titans, because even though Derrick Henry ran the ball well, they still were not in scoring position throughout that whole game, other than, you know, obviously in the first quarter, the pass to Firkser. I believe it was Firkser. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pass to Firkser. But other than that, you know, this team was not in a position. They kicked two field goals, I believe, and then the last touchdown, obviously, was by Logan Ryan. Even with all of that great running by Derrick Henry, they just never got in a position, and they never threatened New England getting inside their 10-yard line or 5-yard line. And that's remarkable. But you look at what they did on that goal line stand in right before half. Essentially, that won them the game. And you can contribute it to Rashawn Evans and his play. He had 10 tackles, I think 6 solo tackles. He led the team in tackles, 6 solo tackles. But none was bigger than the two he had on a goal line. One, he jumped over a guy, jumped through the pile like Troy Polamalu, and grabbed Sonny Michel by the neck and tackled him, stopped him at the one, and then he made another great play, an assist play. So that series, that stance, the way Rashawn Evans played, you know, the Alabama – I said it on television. I said the Alabama guys won the game for the Titans. With the way Derrick Henry ran the ball and the way that Rashawn Evans played, I mean, if those two guys.
And for me.
Yeah, and for you.
Producing local
wow. If those two guys, if they didn't play the way they played, I don't know if the Titans get that victory.
It looked like Rashawn Evans was shot out of a cannon.
Yes.
On those two plays. And, you know, and you could watch it on slow motion, and Tony Romo was kind of talking about it as well. The ability to diagnose what's coming, look at where the play is going, and to be able to react that quickly. I thought Rashawn Evans was sensational in this game.
Yes, he was, man. He was. You started to see, and you've seen some of it this year, throughout the year, but you started to see why they drafted him where they drafted him last year. This guy was a playmaker at Alabama, and this guy has been a playmaker for the Tennessee Titans. You know, he's done exactly what this team has asked him to do. He had over 100 tackles this year, which is a lot at his position. I don't know if he led the team or not, but he had 111 tackles, 69 of them solos. But he's starting to get a feel for this defense. He's starting to play like a pro. He's figuring it out a lot earlier than some linebackers do. And with this combination of linebackers that they have, this trio of linebackers that they have, I mean, they're young, they're physical, they're fast, and they're smart. And it's going to be very hard for offenses to, you know, fool these guys up front if Rashawn Evans continued to play the way he did Saturday.
It had to be a nice kind of redemptive story for Logan Ryan. Remember, you think back to the first half in that game, and he had – maybe the easiest pick six opportunity in the history of the National Football League falling into his lap and dropped it. And you thought to yourself, oh, my goodness, those are the type of plays you have to make against the Patriots to win these type of games, especially in the playoffs. And then to follow it up in the fourth quarter, which, like I said, you know, the ball was on the 1-yard line. It was going to be borderline impossible for the Patriots to win that game anyway. But for him to be able to seal the victory like that against his former team, especially after dropping that first one in the first half, was really, really cool.
Yeah, you know, when you know, for Logan, you know, this is the, I think, the second or third time he's played against his former team. So I think the jitters and all of that are gone from him, you know, leaving New England, coming here. And when you go back the first time, it's like, oh, it's this nostalgia that you go through. It's like, man, I thought I would be on the other side,
yeah.
You know? So he's been through all of that. So now he walks into Gillette Stadium as a Titan, a true member of the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, it's always good. Guys get that extra. It's like that extra incentive when you play your former team. You always want to do something good. You never, you know, you want to play well, but you want to get that one play that people just continue to talk about throughout the week.
Right.
And Logan had it earlier, but he dropped it. I mean, that would have been a pick six down the sideline. He drops it. He redeems himself. And how fitting is it? Tom Brady's on the 1 yard line. You know, the likelihood of them winning is very, very slim to none. He drops back, he throws a pass, and Logan Ryan intercepts it. That's like, you know, Malcolm Butler intercepting the ball or Deion Lewis getting it on a 4th-and-1 and then scoring a touchdown from like 30 yards out to win a game. You know, you live for those as former players. You know, when you're playing your former team, you want those moments to happen, even though it's still about team. And Logan Ryan got it. So kudos to him because he played a good game and he needed to play a good game.
As you look back on it and you take a look at the performance by the Titans defense, how much credit do you give the defense for what they did? And how much of it was just more of the same from what we've seen from the Patriots offense this year that's been pretty inept the last 6 or 7 weeks especially?
Because I don't want to slight the defense because they did play well. They did the things necessary to win that ball game. But for those that hadn't watched New England play this season, you know, this is a team that at the beginning of the year, they had Gordon, they had Brown, N'Keal Harry was healthy, the rookie. They had a bunch of players that they can go to battle with, that they felt comfortable with, veteran guys. And then end the season with Edelman, Sanu, N'Keal Harry, who's been so up and down, it's pathetic, and Sony Michel.
Who looks like a shell of himself from a year ago, yeah.
It's just, that's not a recipe to win. It's really not. And Tom had no help. Edelman drops a pass on third, you know, 2nd and 6 that would have got him a first down that would have continued to drive. He drops the ball. He completely had no help out there whatsoever. But is that the Titans' fault?
Nope.
Not at all.
You'll take it.
Exactly.
That's right. When we come back, Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us. We'll recap this game from Foxborough. You are listening to Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com.